Blog Talk Radio.
You Cannot Say, which is a poem put to song, written by Jay Hatter, and the music is arranged by Shout Even Shy, and the song is sung by Shout Even Shy. What a collaboration. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio chat group that hangs on allpoetry.com, one of the largest poetry sites out there. It's free to join, and if you do or you're already there, check us out under the group tab, A Team of Voices. Knock on the door, and I'll meet you there. And we have shows most nights, different hosts, different prompts. If you're in the group, you can check out the topic boards and see what the prompt is and participate as much or as little as you'd like. We post the links on that chat wall so that you can follow along and comment. If you'd like to call in and participate, the number to dial is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And we'd be thrilled to hear from you. And on that note, I'm going to say hello, Hatter, my co-host, my big brother.
Hey, what if I was to tell you that
That's me singing that song. No, I'm singing a backup. Backup.
Well, since it's a PG-13 show, I'll say baloney. Because I'm sure
okay.
You could, like, you know, get a little bit of a higher tone going in your voice if the need be. But
I did the background. I'm the background singer there. You can't hear me, but I'm there.
Do you know, I've lost count of how many times I've heard that song, and I just can't in my brain anywhere find the voice of the backup singer. The backup singer, I don't remember a backup singer.
Really subtle. It's really subtle. It's really subtle. That's the word.
Okay, well, I'll have to listen better next time. But in the meantime, let's say hello to Stephen and Kay from A Poetic Slice of Life, also known as the Dynamic Duo, and a handful of more names. But Stephen and Kay, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello. And that was me on the drums.
Oh.
The powered drum.
Damn, I missed them too. I must pay better attention when this intro song plays, I tell you. And right behind the dynamic duo is the one and only beautiful Sweet. Hey, my Sweet. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Good to hear you. Glad you're here.
Good to be here.
So I guess tell me, what part did you play in the song, The Words You Cannot Say?
The audience. Woohoo!
There we go.
Do the dance.
Like, okay. We have to start listening better, though, because I hear there's drums there, and that was hotter on the backup, then I missed the backup completely. So, anyway, all right.
I use the brushes. That's the brushes, so it's very quiet.
Brush.
Fart on a drum.
Oh, no.
That's
terrible. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run over to the topic board, and I'm going to grab the poem that Kay brought so that we can see what she did with the plant she chose and what she saw inside there, at most of which are orchids. And for those who can't see the board tonight, the prompts are all photos of different plants, mostly orchids, that look like other things, monkeys, birds, skulls, praying mantis.
Some of those are wild.
Doves.
Some of those are wild. Man.
I'm looking forward to these. And we're going to kick it off with Miss Kay. And Stephen, I'm sorry, did you just say something?
No, that was Hatter saying that some of those pictures were pretty wild, and I definitely agree with that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were cool. I mean, we had everything from a pair of lips to what looked like a brain and all kinds of stuff in between. So they were cool. I figured it would be fun. So let's see what Kay did with her beautiful flowers. Miss Kay, take us away.
Okay. I call mine ice to warmth, shadows, fragility. With hints of mulberry...
What happened?
I lost her.
Yeah. Okay, we can't hear you.
Should I start again?
Yes, please, because
yeah.
There was nothing there. Please.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not just me, right? I lost her again.
No, I can't hear her at all. I call back.
We can.
Yeah,
maybe can you dial back, because we can't hear you at all now. I've been like a broken word here and there. I think I even heard Stephen. You guys can hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
And I can hear you guys very well also. I just can't hear. I can't even hear Stephen anymore. I can't hear either one of them.
No, they're gone. Come back. Come back. Come back.
I hope that she's not reading her heart out, thinking that we hear her and they can't hear us either. Okay, they hung up. So let's give them just a moment to dial back in, because if I wanted
to
just
hear mine.
Words, huh?
I'd like Stephen to hear mine. I think you're going to like it. I took the picture. Everybody wanted it, but didn't know how to.
I like when a poet writes something that when they think about the poem they wrote, it makes them giggle. That's pretty cool. And let's see. There we go. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Welcome
I'm calling on my phone. Can you hear me?
I can hear you way better. Thank you for dialing back. You want to try that again, please?
Okay. I call this ice for warmth, shadows, fragility. With hints of mulberry tussar and russet powder and salmon pink, petals twixt milky repose, lilt and alabastrine and fair ivory veil. Gently adjusting, drift and fluttering on the sepals greenery abundant. Regilt, not trite, golden barrel and wakehurst field, dust elegance of egret tepals, balance and whirl. Chase an austere, cherry cordial, umbrella pure, end poem.
So much better when I got to hear you. Well, you know, there's a lot here in a brevity. The descriptions, like the hints of mulberry and the alabastrine and fair ivory veils, gorgeous image there. And where would the greenery abundant, but I like the dusks. I can't talk. Dusts elegance of egret. I could picture the bird in that spot. The chaste and austere cherry cordial. I like that. There's something about the thought of the cherry cordial that ends it with like a sweetness. That I guess that probably sounds corny, but, you know, you think of a cherry cordial and like, well, besides the fact that you instantly want one, it's what I think of, the burst of flavor, the sweetness of it. But I love this from the first line to the last because of all those great descriptions. But I think my favorite is that fair ivory, the fair ivory veils. Because you can really see them. And to me, you know, you can see, like, in the one to the left, you can see, like, wings open, and under the veil is a perfect description for that. So I think this is a beautiful brevity. And I like the title, Ice to Warmth, Shadows, Fragility. You always have great metaphors just in your titles as well. I know, you know, who gave me the power to crown people, but you really are a metaphor queen, just saying. Great share. Thank you, Kay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get you some comments. Hatter. Hatter, are you muted?
Now can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh. Yes.
Okay. I just apologize because I thought I was... I thought I was not muted when I yelled.
No, I didn't hear that.
Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, this is the metaphor queen is right. I would have to go pick some of these words out to figure out what you're saying. And that's just me being not word fluent. Kind of just for brevity, this is... Well done. I mean, it's the long run on line, which I think enhances the free verse. Golden barrel and wakehurst fields, dust elegance of the egret, the pulse, balancing the whorls. Very good. I have to read it again.
Great comment, Hatter. Am I sweet?
Well, it's funny. It's a luxury of language that just kind of brings these delicate flowers to life. It's as you know, the language is as exquisite as the flower itself, and I think it's, you know, you just kind of almost feel them just come open and be a part of life or, you know, what they're going to be. I just cast an extra cherry cordial umbrellas pure. I really like that last line. But I really, again, once again, language is studying just, you know, to describe this gorgeous blooming of a flower. At least that's what I see.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, while I grab your link, will you comment for Kay, please?
Well, yeah, I like this a lot. I think you described the flowers very well with your words, and you also personified them too. It is a beautiful brevity, hun.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And before you read, do you want to give us a rundown, Mr. Stephen?
Yeah, our next show over at Aquatic Slice of Life is Wednesday. It's the Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow, and we are looking at the classic movie Peyton Place, also based on a book, too. So we have quotes from the book and the movie to write to. Check them out. That's 9 p.m. on Wednesday. There's no movement of sound this week, but on Friday it is Sci Friday, and there can only be one Sci Friday every month, and we are going to look at the movie Highlander, the original, the first one. Quotes from the movie. and that's at 8 p.m. Eastern on Friday, and then Sky Dark Home show, as Storyboards of S Dark Home, is on Saturday at 8 p.m. And what's she doing this week? I don't remember. I'm on a team of voices. I have to run over there real fast. I don't remember. Running. Merlin, that's right. Merlin, the miniseries Merlin from 1998. Quotes, character rights, scene rights. 8 p.m. Eastern, Geek Out with Sky.
Awesome. Now run back over here and show us what you got.
And Geek Out with Steven. And I will warn anybody who has not seen Season 2 of Star Trek Discovery and wants to see it, spoiler alert, this is called Scarlet Angel Wings Into the Future Brings. Scarlet signals set across the stars, rifts in time to see, drawing discovery through galaxy far, setting sphere datas free. Riding the spores as clock hands are froze, pitch klaxon puts on the spin, to asteroid crash where engineer knows, and planets where meat creatures win. Twisting logic into manic brain, holographic triple homicide. Scarlet Angel driving Vulcan insane, Doctor's death framed up inside. In enemy lands where crystals show, a place where youth does burn. Synthetic violence, relentless control, and section shadows turn. Battle screams and vacuum bursts, torpedo detonate bulkhead, till final signal brings hero crew first, through wormholes temporal cleft. End poem. And I thought the flower looked like the Scarlet Angel from Discovery, which is also in the last gift of the poem.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I love the title, Scarlet Angel Wings Into the Future Brings. It's its own little rhyme. It could be a caption for the photo, and you could leave it right there. I think, that, you know, the angel wings is a great angle. And then the from the first line, scarlet signal set across the stars, rifts in time to see. And something in just those two first lines, I could have pictured that, or should that be imagined hearing that at the beginning of an episode of like Star Trek or something. So that was pretty cool in the way you worded it. And let me see, in the middle there, riding the spores as clock hands are froze. The doom of that in one line is really awesome. And then to come down a little further, the holographic triple homicide, Scarlet Angel driving Vulcan insane. I think that is awesome. I can picture, whenever you hear the word, well, whenever I hear the word Vulcan, the first thing, of course, that pops into my mind is Spock. So I'm trying to picture this angel driving a Vulcan. So, like, imagine the angel on his shoulders. It would drive him totally nuts, especially if it was trying to tap his heartstrings when he's trying to tap into his logic type of thing. So that contrast is pretty cool and way off topic. Back to the poem. I like the wormhole's temporal cleft as well. Brilliant wording there, Stephen. The images throughout, the piece that could have been another part of the storyline, the incredible view that you gave us in between each stanza, and I don't even know what to call them anymore. But they're awesome. We got little mini videos, you know, they're cool. But yeah, the wormhole's temporal cleft. Excellent wording. I'm trying to scroll back up here. Yeah, back to that title. Scarlet Angel Wings Into the Future Brings. I really, really love the title. I like it all the way through. And I don't think I've seen this, but oh well. Poem's great. Thank you so much. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, are you talking about the moving pictures, what they are, Deb? They're gifts.
Yeah, like, I thought they were gifts, and then they were Easter eggs, or there's all these different
The file is a GIF. We just call them gifts. But,
people call them different things, so, you know, whatever. But before you comment, give me half a second. Let's say hello to Liquid Damage, a.k.a. Linda. Hey, Linda, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. Sorry I'm late.
Better late than never, doll. Hatter's just about to comment for Stephen. Hatter?
Yeah, I think you said the one line was right in the middle, twisting logic into manic brain, holographic triple homicide. Great line. Scarlet Angels driven, Vulcan insane, Doctor's death framed up inside. Yeah, very good. You do well with the Star Trek or the sci-fi type of. Yeah.
I'm a Trekkie.
Comment, and my sweet.
I have seen this, and I think it's really cool. I think it's stunning storytelling. I mean, you've got great metaphors and imagery. It's kind of twisted and dark. And I, of course, till the very last dance. But I like the bolt the same as Hatter did. And I also like Battle Screams and Vacuum Burst Torpedo Detonate Bulkhead. That was just a really cool whole scene towards the end there. But it's brilliantly done. And even without all the little gifts and pictures and everything from the show, I think you tell a tremendous story, a very cool synopsis of what's going on. And, you know, just these little clips that maybe you should write there. Teasers for, because I think yours were kind of better than the couple I've seen for some upcoming series. So I thought that you did a really great job with this, Stephen.
Thank you, sweet.
Awesome comment. And so I'm sorry, Linda, were you here in time to hear the poem? I don't know.
No,
I wasn't. Okay, I just wanted to check.
No, I missed it.
No problem.
It looks cool, though.
Yeah, for sure. Stephen, I know you and Kay have been on the radio for hours, but apparently Hatter would very much like you to hear his poem before you leave, so I went around and grabbed it. It's on the board if you wouldn't mind listening to him read before you guys go hang out together. Hatter?
Thank you. It is the jungle hides the best of things. If you see that, yeah, it goes like this. The jungle hides the best of things, unknown bugs that bite and sting, measured in inches to show off their stuff. Some are snipped, not good enough. Flying gnats with purple hats pass along the words. They show the thing. They show their things like shiny bling. They tease the feathered birds. With willy whackers in tow, they want to know. They want to show. Sometimes it doesn't matter. Behind the scenes of Wonderland bling, the place to show the Mad Hatter. In the trees, they try to please as if they were all just fine. But things are not. It's all I got. It was just bigger than mine. Everybody saw that picture. Scared to death. What to do? I don't know.
Go right to Stephen, please.
Had to be said.
Stephen, you want to comment first?
Well, one of the lines had me thinking of, what was it, Robin Hood, Men in Tights? When Mel Brooks was the rabbi and he was talking about his specialty of nipping the tip, any little tiny guillotine okay. for it. So yeah, that's where I went on this one. Yeah, and I would have had to probably go in the same direction with that picture too. This is great, Hatter. Had me cracking up. I was trying not to laugh during it. Very well done.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Awesome comment. And is Kay still here or did she have to go?
She had to go. Sorry.
Okay. I appreciate you waiting because he had mentioned that he really wanted you to hear that. And I know you've been on the radio all night. I appreciate you both and we will talk soon. Thank you. And Hatter, I wondered first if anybody would choose that one. You know, because, I mean, you can't help but what you see in that photo. and I like these little things that the flying gnats with purple hats pass along the words. And I'm sorry, but just the flying gnats with purple hats is like, you know, filled with double meanings there that I won't dig deeper into on a Monday. But it just cracked me up, and I'm sitting here, and I'm biting my tongue waiting to see where you go. Behind the scenes of Wonderland Bling and a place to show the Mad Hatter and trees, they try to please as if it were all just fine, but things are not. It's all I got. Yours is bigger than mine, and I think I almost choked on my swig of coffee there. So, like, the ending is priceless. Perfect.
Okay.
And this was a really, really fun how to rhyme. Great share. And, okay, let me see. How about if I see what Linda thought of that one?
I thought it was adorable, Hatter. You know, I looked at that picture and I didn't get it at first, you know. So it's all where your mind's at. So we now know where your head's at. But no,
oh,
very
no,
well done. it was very well done. The verses, that each one like showed a little bit more of the final finale, and I like that it was like inching towards the big line at the end, and that made it really pleasurable to listen to. So great job, Hatter.
Thank you. Yeah, everybody saw
it. Awesome comment. And let's say hello to AP. Hello, AP. Welcome to the show.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm trying to recover from Hatter's poem. I was cracking up at the end. Did you happen to hear or read it?
I was just actually reading it, and I was actually wondering where he was going there with the willy whackers, and then we worked it out, didn't we? Yeah.
Right. Cool. And my sweet, before you read yours, will you comment for Hatter, please?
Well, I needed a giggle and a giggle and a giggle, so I'm glad you wrote this poem. I just hope that whatever happens to them with the weed whacker never happens to you. So it keep clear, because I think those guys might be a little more in danger than you. So I really did enjoy that.
Oh, Wonderland thing.
Well, we don't
know
back Wonderland.
You have to say it's not that often that I hear a man admit that theirs is smaller than the other guys.
No, this is fiction.
No, you know, he's coming back, right?
Fiction, know the difference. I thought it was great, Hatter. It really was funny.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. And now you want me to read that?
Please.
Yeah, this wasn't very hard. It wasn't that very hard to read. It's funnier in my head. Carry on.
Sometimes I'd like to be in your head, Hatter. But anyway. Okay. Mine is on the board, so it's a... Soiled feathers, an unaltered beauty in the land of Jezebel. She wears a smile that hides all tales of the dragon's talons that ripped her flesh. The scars on her wrist show no bravery, tightrope walking in yesterday's memories, tight-lipped pretender. She rarely speaks. Bitten by a certain unseen, crisscrossed eyes of hate unleashed, sliced by pen, ebony ink spills crimson blood. In a ping-pong serve of open-ended questions, words blurred in action-packed movie dialogue, of curse words and broken-down love songs. Speak and she bleeds, soft-spoken pretender, a believer in Snow White forever love stories, dragon slayers, perfect castles, and magical kisses. His tongue swirls, incestible, a filth and drools as it lies. An evil bitch casts a spell and turns his veins icicle blue. Ebony's shadow swallowed her whole as his kindness withdrew. Razor blade teardrops etched cherub cheek scars. Bruises hide under her china dial smiles. Her nails crawl into flesh, drawing half crescent moons. Dark shadows mask the unfamiliar in the kind of space. Hide the sharpness of nails in the hands we take. And soften the eyes of monsters before we escape. Shadows crawl into corners of holy confessions of grace. Solutions speak deep from darkness of a hollowed space. Absolution rises out of a candle flames, crossbones, skull, faces. Dandelion secrets blow in the wind, wondering how it all went wrong. And yet, we still sing the words to our broken down love song.
Amen.
Holy. Sweet. Wow. From the get-go, it grabs an unaltered beauty in the land of Jezebel. She wears a smile that hides all tales of the dragon's talons that ripped her flesh. Like, you clobber right there in that first stanza with some totally unexpected darkness, and the scars on her wrist show no bravery. And it's just like, as you go on between the words and the pain in your voice as you were reading, it's like kicking butt all the way through in a ping-pong serve of open-ended questions, words blurred in an action-packed movie dialogue of cursed words and broken-down love songs. Jeez. And it just keeps hitting. His tongue swirls in a cesspool of filth and drools, acid lies, an evil bitch casts spells and turns his veins icicle blue. I mean, dark shadows mask the unfamiliar in the kindest face. The shadows crawl into the corners of holy confessions of grace. Damn, sweet, this is like dandelion secrets blow in the wind wandering how it all went so wrong. And yet we still sing the words of our broken down love song. I like how you bring it back to that love song, that broken down, sorrow-filled, incredible poem. And I'm trying to figure out how I missed this. So, I mean, shadows crawl into corners in holy confessions of grace. I often find myself in awe when I'm done listening to you read, and I wish I could pour so much into free verse and have something like this come from it. You pull me so deeply into your words as you read that I'm not listening for the rhyme. I'm listening to see which way you're going to rip my guts out next, whether it's going to be in horror, in sorrow. No matter which avenue you're taking, you do it with such a powerful impact, and this is no exception. I think it's amazing. Damn sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah, this when you read that first of Cursed Words and Broken Down Love Song, I marked it immediately because that was what I was going to come right back to. But then you slipped it in at the back. It was perfectly done. I didn't expect it, and it how it all went wrong, and still we sing the words to a broken down love song. This is perfect. Going on a couple of lists.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys make me blush.
I was just doing that too, Hatter. Linda, what you think, hon? Her call dropped. Okay. There she goes. Okay. She's back. Perfect timing. Hey, doll. I just realized that your phone dropped. Can you comment for sweet?
Yeah, this was very cool. Your poetic language is so intense in this, just really beautiful. And the story you tell is so heart-wrenchingly hard. It got me, it gave me shivers, and all I can say is that it was so hauntingly beautiful that you blew my mind. It's just very good. So thank you for sharing it, sweet.
Thank you. Well,
you got to clean it up.
Wow. Yes.
AP, will you comment for sweet before you read, please?
Sure. And it's strange, I don't know why, but the words took me to an old sort of Western and an old sort of abandoned town and this pub and a hotel and this scene, sort of violent encounter in the middle of nowhere as the sort of tumbleweeds bounced around. And I think it was just the words that did it.
Yes, you read it. Yeah, the words read it.
Really, really interesting. You just painted the picture such that I created that image in my head, and I thought it was a really great poem.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Awesome comment. And take us away, please.
I haven't done a Villanelle for 6 months, Deb. I worked out. This is Emerald Green, a Villanelle. It goes a little bit like this. A branch on its own easily deceives, if poison and speed together left mole. Deception springs from emerald green leaves. lives in passing consumed by thieves, bodies dissolve, remainders but a whole. A branch on its own easily deceives. Weapons of design here only death seeds, its venom arrows driving spirits null. Deception springs from emerald green leaves. Once vibrant, instead only pain retrieves. A simple false stumble has resulted in coal. A branch on its own easily deceives. Last vestiges of life no longer breathes, eyes dissolve to bone, are listless and dull. Deception springs from emerald green leaves. Upon this hanging branch, death its way weaves, memories hang of lives, left now a skull. A branch on its own easily deceives. Deception springs from emerald green leaves. End poem.
Okay, well, for starters, I do see why this took the dark turn it did, direction it did, because, I mean, come on, it's a branch full of skulls. But I'm in shock a little because, like, usually when I see the words villanelle or tri-villanelle, it's some kind of beautiful poem, and not that this isn't, but in a very different kind of way. And usually if I see four deb at the bottom, it's like, you know, there's a butterfly there or this or that. So I'm very glad that I know you're not mad at me for anything, because this is a pretty dark poem to see four deb written in there. But wow, a very interesting form choice for the direction you took. And once vibrant, instead, only pain retrieves, simple false stumbles has resulted in coal. A branch on its own easily deceives. And on that, you know, of course, multiple meanings, but as far as back to the art, you would think, you know, you walk up on a tree or a branch or a plant and you wouldn't expect to see, like, shrunken heads. It makes me think of shrunken heads. That I guess there's tribes and stuff that used to do that. So it's like it could be. I think you mentioned it somewhere. The memories hang of lives left now as skulls, and it's like it could be like a little. Graveyard's not the word I'm trying to think of, but I can't think of what.
Like a totem.
Oh, right. Say that again.
Like a totem, almost like an old-fashioned sort of totem pole of some sort.
Totem, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. But because you sit there and you could wonder about the five lives that could be represented right there. But I'm like I said, I'm really blown away not by the beauty in the rhyme and the pattern and whatnot, but again, why you would choose this form. And then you mix it with your voice, which always lulls us all in to listen. So now we've got the tranquility of your voice mixed with the descriptions going on here of these dried leaves and the deaths and the longer breaths and I very much like the approach. Totally unexpected. Hatter, what do you think? Are you muted?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. What are they called when you repeat the last line?
It's probably got a technical word, Hatter, but I don't know. But it is part of the villanelle form, of course. So you do have to choose a couple of lines that get repeated.
Yeah, and those are strong verses when they're written correctly, I guess. But my friend AP, he doesn't repeat one line; he repeats two. And he 3-3-3-3-3-4. He repeats both of them on the last verse. okay, what was planned and what was by accident?
Good question, Hatter. I thought, well, I hadn't done a Villanelle for a while, and I sort of thought, well, a Villanelle sort of doubles down on things if you choose the right words, and so I'll try to do something a bit darker that doubles down on the words and is a little bit sort of surprising. That was where I sort of started, and that's pretty much where I finished.
I like the way you added that last line below the branch on its own easily deceives.
Yeah.
And then you repeated that. That was sort of a good touch. And I wrote in the comment that you're showing off in a great way.
See, it's
no,
thick.
Yeah, and to the picture, that looks like that's where the seed pops out, sort of like what cotton, sort of the husk of cotton.
Mm, it does look like cotton. You're right.
Because that's weird looking. And how many do you think? How many do you think evolved as a defense mechanism? Like butterflies, they look like eyes. The big eyes to a bigger, bigger animal. How many do you think were defense evolution? And how many were just sort of an accident? You think of all these pictures that we've been seeing.
Yeah, good question.
I mean,
I reckon. Yeah, this does look like something that has evolved, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, God's got a great sense of humor in some things.
Right. Yeah, it really is.
It's the simple things like that make the world around us just excellent.
No, I agree, Adam.
Awesome comment. Am I sweet?
Well, I think this is probably one of my favorites, AP. There's several reasons outside of the technicality of it and that you wrote it like in 22 seconds or whatever it was while you were riding a bull backwards with your hands tied. I love the words. I love the story, the darkness, the depth of the darkness. There was life here. There was beauty here. There was something that was people were drawn to. Now it's just hollow and it blows in the wind. It was interesting to me that you chose that picture because of what those flowers actually are. I have a friend of mine that makes jewelry from those, and they're actually dried snapdragons. And if done correctly, you can make. So since I know you have a thing for dragons, I was like, oh, I wonder, how is he going to pull that off? But you did it so well. I'm in awe of this. I really like the evolution of, see what was, what life was, and yet here we are, this nothingness in blowing in the wind and what was and what will be, because it so easily deceives us all. I thought it was really beautifully done.
Thank you, Sweat.
You know how they keep, put the like bugs and butterflies in that clear polyurethane or whatever it is that dries.
Yes.
These skulls would be great to put in. And
no, I agree.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Just the other thing I did have had her is I did want to finish with skull. And so that sort of set the second line rhyme for me. So, and that sort of left me a few issues because there's not a mile of rhyming words to skull. That makes it a little bit more complicated. But yeah, I did want to finish with skull.
Yeah, that's when that Shakespeare talk comes in handy. Because I know as you're trying every once in a while get one of those. It just doesn't know rhyme. Excellent. So does anybody know where that's from? It couldn't be Australia, could it?
What, the...
Where that plant originated.
It's
where
a
does
snapdragon.
It's a snapdragon.
That's a snapdragon?
Yeah, it's a dead snap. Yeah, they're snapdragons.
Yeah.
I was looking at that very end one. It looks like he's got a little blonde beard, huh? A little goatee going on.
Yeah, it does.
Picking on people there. I like how you see skulls and you're trying to blame them on Oz. Have to give that some thought. In the meantime, Linda, I'm just teasing you, Hatter. He's got 6 million poisonous animals. Why not skull flowers? Just teasing you. But Linda, will you come up for AP and then read your poem for us?
Sure. AP, this was beautiful. I looked at this picture and thought, what could I write about that? But you have come up with something so special that it's wonderful. The verse, I like how you use the same line at the end of your verses. It brings it all together, and the story here is very cool. But I like the delicacy of this branch. Those things must be so delicate, and you brought that into your writing. It's so delicate, and I really loved it. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome comments, everyone. And AP, do you have to bolt, or are you hanging out?
I was gonna bolt, if that's okay, but I shall get back in touch soon.
Perfect. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
And thanks for calling.
Okay.
Thanks, Linda.
Okay, talk soon.
Yes. This
Take
is called The Child Was Born. And it goes like this. Peace is the measure of a man's ability to grow with one another in harmony. It only takes one seed. But one day this ability grew quite small, affecting the people, the horses and all. The dogs stopped wagging their tails when you came, and the cats didn't want to play feathery games. The horses didn't neigh when the apple came near, and the elephants grew full of terrible fear. Hamsters and mice didn't want carrots and toast, and koalas stopped liking eucalyptus the most. The chicks stopped laying eggs every day, and the cows wouldn't eat the hayest of hays. The rabbits and goats stopped jumping around, whilst the monkeys all lay down on the ground. Some of the animals walked backwards and stuff, and man had just had enough. Brothers and sisters fought to the death while mothers and fathers drew in their last breath. Then came the politicians who began the process of putrefaction. And whilst all this chaos ensued, it only took one to spread some good news. A child was born and wise men came near, working their best to conquer the fear. Then all the dogs started wagging their tails and the cats started playing with feathery sails. The horses neighed to get apples to eat while the elephants grew brave and stood strong on their feet. The hamsters and mice ate their carrots and toast and the koalas started eating eucalyptus the most. The chicks laid their eggs and the cows ate their hay whilst the rabbits and goats started jumping to play. The monkeys got up from down on the ground, and the animals walking backwards all turned around. And man got his balance and wanted some more of the peace that was always in store. The brothers and sisters made nice to each other, and mother and father started working together. And then came again the politicians, who never learned to act with contrition. The thing that it took was loving the land with all of our hearts and then taking a stand. Feeding the earth with a whole lot of love that brought forth peace from the angels above. Peace started growing and all on the earth fell to their knees whilst their souls were rebirthed in peace.
Wow, what an end. Wow. Okay, let me start at the end. V feeding the earth with a whole lot of love. This brought forth peace from the angels above. Peace started growing, and all on the earth fell to their knees whilst their souls were rebirthed. The ending, it's so very spiritually uplifting. The peace started growing, and all on the earth. You know, these couplets are excellent. Sometimes you and Hatter have a similar cadence sometimes, and this would be one of those times. And if this was in one of the games that Crystal does where she pulls a piece, I would have a hard time guessing this one. Your details, the dogs stopped wagging their tails when you came, and the cats want to play feathery games. The horses didn't neigh when the apple was near, and the elephants grew full of terrible fear. And it's like the back and forth. I would have never expected this level of storytelling from some rabbit ear plants. Hamsters and mice didn't want carrots and toast, and the koala stopped liking eucalyptus the most. It's like you covered so many different aspects of the changes of the what was and the what wasn't, and you did it with your storytelling style and excellent rhyme and flow and cadence, and like I think you probably just sat down and looked at that plant and also just spit it out with this excellent detail and painted this story for us. And let me steal one more couplet. The monkeys got up from down on the ground, and the animals walking backwards all turned around. I mean, this was Dr. Seuss-ish.
Yes, I'm waiting for you to say that. Yes, exactly what that is.
Oh, sorry. It is, though. It's like excellent. I mean, she's got and animals from around the world. We've got koalas, and we've got mice and hamsters and rabbits and chicks. And, I mean, really, the dogs are here. The cats are here. This is a very fun read. And before you log off today, Linda, scroll back. I'll have to see if I can find it. There's some... I had put some information on the board for some story magazines, short story magazines, and I bet you could do great with them. Anyway, let me get you some comments on this poem. Hatter.
No, this is she's now our group's Dr. Seuss. The way you in the line, the hayiest of hays. I was so proud when I heard you heard that. you told the storyline and then you repeated it at a different time. And, you know, everybody's getting on kumbaya. Putrefaction. Instead of about to look at it.
Causing things to putrefy. To turn icky and
okay. I lost all this chaos. I was just smiling through this whole thing. You're the Dr. Seuss, and it is not easily done. I found that out. I've done, I think, three different times. I was talked into doing some Seussian. Purple Chaos was high on that. It's not easy to do, to write like Dr. Seuss. There is a genius behind it, almost a madman, if you ask me. And you do it so well, Linda. Your storyline and the way you tell it is spot on. Wonderful.
Well, thank you, Hatter.
You're
awesome
welcome.
Comment. And my sweet had to hang up. But she said, brilliant work, Linda. I am in awe. And she said she has to run and she loves us all. And we love you back, my sweet. Okay.
We talked about that picture.
You guys, I have three recordings. So we'll just do them in the order that I just put them on the board. So if you guys would please click on Gerald, I will push play.
Peace signs.
Well, I've got to go to refresh. Okay, where'd it go? Hey.
Gerald. Got it.
There we go. Got it.
Okay, here we go.
First Date, written and read by Gerald Green. His invitation was accepted, and her guard was down. Feeling safe in the crowded room of orchid growers, old and young. Their first date at this meeting seemed secure, where cheerful voices talked of favorite plants as judges holding clipboards tallied scores. Admiration flowed from everyone. Words of praise and accolades melded with strong aromas wafting through the overheated room. Her mood responded in uncharted ways. Without a signal, she felt a sense of love with every breath that made her want to hold it in. Those orchids sitting side by side, each adding more to sweetness in the air, surrounded her and filled her very soul with new desire that made her blush. When doors were opened and the plants were carried out, she looked at him and said, "Come home with me."
Someplace new.
I'm here. Did I click on the wrong?
No. No, that was the one.
Oh, okay. I just didn't hear the words "with me," so I was waiting for some kind. Okay. Ignore me.
Okay.
Let's see here. On the second stanza, I think, the second stanza, their first date at this meeting seemed secure, where cheerful voices talked favorite plants as judges holding clipboards, tallied scores. Judges holding clipboards, what a way to look at that. He's always so clever and different. Words of praise and accolades melded with strong aromas wafting through the overheated room.
He titled it the first.
Oh, those
first
orchids sitting side by side, yeah, each adding more to the sweetness in the air, surrounded her and filled her very soul with new desire that made her blush. I like the. This is another one where there's some slight sensual undertones in there, like the thoughts in her mind that made her. So it was unexpected all the way around. And then that ending, she looked at him and said, "Come home with me." And it's like, oh, so now since I know that he will listen and he will answer my question that I'm asking right now, I'm wondering if this is biographical. There's a tenderness, and I guess I kind of feel, yeah, like I want to believe that it belongs to somebody, like, you know, his wife or something. So I was just wondering if it's...
Well, yeah, how we get from the picture prompt, the first...
To that, I know. I mean,
now,
the picture is beautiful,
see?
but the memory,
yeah,
it could possibly be tied,
yeah,
to this poem. Just as beautiful.
Yeah.
So he did a great job as always. But I'm sorry. Go ahead and comment.
No. I find I like the way what he saw. I'd like to know what he saw. I see the little the girl in the white dress. It looks like he's got wings. Hair's piled up on top. And so, knowing that, I kept that in mind as he was listening to the recording. Yeah, he's got a lot of thought in some of his writes, and you got to really, really pay attention to reread it. Very good. Come home with me. Come home with me.
Awesome comment. And Linda, what did you think?
I thought it was nice. It was an interesting twist on the prompt. I would have done something about fairies dancing in the forest, but that's just me. And he came up with a cohesive story that, and I liked the ending. It kind of gave it a little humor to it, or a little ease to it. There was a point to the date, and I liked that. So thank you very much, Gerald. And once again, your storytelling is amazing.
Awesome comment. Thank you both very much. And while we all click on Laughing Soul's poem, and while I head over to the studio to wait for you guys to say you see it, I thought I might also point out that, Linda, when you get a chance, re-click on your own poem, because it seems like me and Sweet and Hatter all pinned that poem. Just saying. That's impressive when you get everybody in the room to pin your poem. So, do you guys, oh, you shouldn't have had the refresh. I put all three of them together. Do you have Laughing Souls?
Hang on, let me get back to the page. Oh, come on. Yes. There we go.
Okay. Here we go with her amazingly tranquil voice. Here we go.
Joker, a poem by Laughing Soul. A joker greets me on my morning walk. I, wishing solitude, try dodging his dog. A mango fedora with coral lollipop ears. He seemed to simper at my nonsensical tears. Unfurled lips like a cappuccino art. Dripped coffee with a fatuous fart. This joker held me captive with his peppery petals. Lost in loneliness, found I solace from stinging nettles. Blossoming anew with fervor insane, I stroll back home humming Merlot limericks in champagne rain. A joker it may take to understand life, to laugh at words sharper than knife. To laugh at words sharper than knife. End poem.
Such a soft voice, and she's getting fancy now with the music in the background. Excuse me, I like her title there, The Joker, and you can see it in the face of this orchid. It really, it's the detail. You can see the smile, the eyes. The flower itself is bold and brilliant, and so is the thought of the Joker. And then we get, a joker greets me on my morning walk, wishing solitude, try dodging his talk. I think that I would be a little bit dodging too. For one, in the morning, you know, if I haven't had my coffee, even a joker I don't think could get me to grin. But a mango fedora with coral lollipop ears, he seemed to simper at the non-essential tears. I think that the couplets here are awesome. The disc joker held me captive with his peppery petals, lost in loneliness, found solace from slinging nettles. The imagery in this is quite different, and I like the fact that she strolled along on her morning walk and found this blossoming anew, a great phrase there. And I stroll back home humming Merlot limericks in Champagne Rain. Both of those metaphors are pretty awesome. Merlot Limericks and Champagne Rain. I imagine you stick out your tongue and get some, collect some of them raindrops, and by the time you get a pretty big buzz. But I thought this was clever, and like I said, the Joker is perfect because I can see him there. Heather, what you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think the way she reads it enhances the two lines. It separates. She's got nice pause in between each one, so she nails the rhyme. The cadence is always satisfying to hear, even though it's not the same count. It doesn't need to be, as long as you don't trip on it. Yeah, the Joker, great. Oh, I want to mention the picture. That is odd looking. With everything else being so precise almost, that looks like a piece of a vase that a kid would paint.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
I could see that. It also could have possibly been some kind of devilish thing, too, because it could be horns. But it also could have been like, what do they call those, shocks of reddish hair on the Joker. So, I mean, she did a clever job with it. Awesome comment. And Linda, what do you think?
Well, you know, I know how important Soul's walks in the morning are. And for her to incorporate this into her walk was pretty cool. She always does a lovely job speaking her poems, and this was really cool. I liked all her descriptive words and her metaphors, and it was very vivid. And I like that about it. So nice job, Soul. I love you, sweetheart.
Oh, awesome comment, everyone. Now, before we push all the stuff that's coming up, let's click the button. And as we listen to him read, I will also put the plant that he wrote to on the board so that you guys can see it, because it really is like perfect. So, okay, there is the art. And if you both tell me you're on his poem, I will push play.
No, it's Kermit. Okay, I got it.
Okay. And that's the picture he wrote to as well, and here we go.
This is a poem by Feather Poet called The Hooded Figures of Nature. They come out in spring robes of emerald and moss, the smell of frankincense covering the winter drops, dwelling in the shade of a chrysanthemum bush, taking a vow of silence in the meadow's hush. Birds chime to the echoes of a Gregorian chant. The tears of heaven drip pure innocence on every plant, while the absinthe hooded figures glide by unnoticed, like a distorted mirage coming in and out of focus. To the monastery beyond Acorn Manor in a cloistered cell, where these leaf-covered characters of mystery dwell, sown to the earth with their greenery pointing to heaven, whipping themselves with pieces of nettle-rooted leaven, wearing coats of seeds and tree bark upon their foreheads. They live the hermit's life down where the river feeds. In time of death, they wear robes of golden brown. The birds mourn as autumn steals summer's crown. End poem.
Wow. Okay, well, for starters, his title, The Hooded Figures of Nature, another one where the title is a perfect caption for the photo. And I've never seen anything like those before. They really do look like little people hiding in hoodies. It's the wrong color, but like even Kenny from South Park, you know, the little figure with the hood on. So I think between the sights and the sounds and the scents, even like the smell of the frankincense covering the winter, the birds chime to the echoes and of the Gregorian chant, and you can almost hear the birds. So it was like I said, a treat for the senses, and his descriptions brings the art to life, and his story is fantastic. And I like in the end there, in time of death, they wear robes of golden brown. The birds mourn, and autumn steals summer's crown. I think that this is kind of my new favorite from him. That there's something about the feel of it, the nature mixed in with the storytelling, mixed in with the, there's something about the ending there. I'll repeat it one more time. In time of death, they wear robes of golden brown. The birds mourn as autumn steals summer's crown. As autumn steals summer's crown. I think that, well, I know you'll listen. I think you outdid yourself, though. Thank you very much. Heather, what do you think?
I think this is one of Phil's better writes. One question, though. In the second stanza, the third line, while the absent hooded figures glide by unnoticed, how is it used in the word absent? Is it while the absent hooded?
I would believe the color.
The color?
The
Isn't that alcohol?
He'll respond to you. I took it as green.
Yeah.
Absence green.
Yeah, okay.
I've been wrong before.
Well, no, I must have got it wrong. I took it as the alcohol. I think that's the same spelling, isn't it? Absent. Maybe not. Yeah, this is. I'm so glad that he records and sends it in, because I think it does his work so much better having him read it. Does it very well. Pieces of Nettle Root 11. Yeah, a bit of old school. Always. Very good. Nevertheless,
and I agree. And I agree with the fact that. It's 1,000 times better with the recordings. It's always great to read someone, but it's so much more to hear them read it for you, you know? Linda, what do you think?
Yeah.
Well, I love Phil's stuff. He's got such a way of writing. And this is beautiful. And when I saw the picture, I was like, whoa, because when he read it and I didn't see the picture, it was a nice poem. But to see him describe that plant was beautiful. And this last line, the birds mourn as autumn steals summer's crown, is so heart-wrenching that, you know, to know that the birds would mourn over the loss of summer, you know, the plants and stuff, that it's sad. But once again, Phil's really done it with his way of describing situations and things. And I like this, to the monastery beyond Acorn Manor as a cloistered cell, where the leaves-covered characters of mystery dwell, sown to the earth with their greenery pointing to heaven, whipping themselves with pieces of nettle-rooted leaven. Very nicely written. Phil always comes up with some masterpiece of writing. So thank you, Phil. Thank you for sharing this wonderful piece.
Awesome comment. And how about we start with you, Linda? You want to tell us what your schedule is looking like for shows?
Yeah, my schedule is the second Friday at A Team of Voices at 10 p.m. Eastern. I have a show with some stupid jokes and some good poetry. Makes a good mix. And then the third Saturday at La Cosa Nostra, same deal, some stupid jokes and good poetry. Come on down and have some fun.
Awesome. And tomorrow night at a special time, filling in for Sweet Peas Night is Sky Darkholm, and she's going to take us down the tube with some really clever prompts. She's, excuse me, I just put the link on the board, and she's got three great prompt choices. Number one is, what if the world was actually flat? And she has a video that you can watch on that topic. Then she has a video on prompt two, which is Christmas tree worms. It's a underwater thing, it looks like. And there's a video to see what those are. And then I'm intrigued by number three, but not just because of the prompt itself. It's called a nudie branch. But because on the video she shared for this one, it says, this video has me cry laughing, but it also has facts. So I'm looking forward to looking through it later and finding out what made her cry laugh in prompt number three. So
can I say one more thing about tonight's
prompt?
There's a story, a legend, I guess, that the Chinese or the Japanese, I think it's the Chinese, When they were fishing in the sea, they would run across some crabs that the back of it looked like the face of the emperor. So they would always toss those back into the sea. Well, generations of this created a whole species of crab to where they all look like the emperor, which is a sort of an accidental farming or raising a certain crab. So my question is, how much of these orchids survived in that manner also, that because they were more detailed, they were more effective? I guess that would be right. That's why they do it, right? To look like a bigger animal?
Maybe, yeah.
The bones that look like people, how would they know? One, I mean, these are some great pictures. There's a lot of those pictures that I hadn't seen before. But that just blows me away. Nature, nobody does it better, right?
For sure. Even the mistakes are cool. Sometimes the vegetables deform into what looks like people or other things, and you just never know. The surprises in the world. Okay, so and I did notice also on Sky's topic, even Pretty Bird chimed in at the bottom, and she said, "OMG, I am crying in hysterics with that nudie patadite flower guild. I am not as clever, but I'm going to try because why not?" So obviously, it has had Sky and Pretty Bird laughing to tears. So now I really can't wait to see what is in this video. But I'm sure one of those three videos will intrigue you. And again, it's 8 p.m. Eastern, just this
one Tuesday.
That's
the one with the Sky's dark home?
Tomorrow, yeah. Yes, that's tomorrow with Sky. And then Sweet's going to try to be back next week, so we will stay tuned, see how that goes. In the meantime, just put the link on for next Monday, and I think this one has got some pretty crazy prompts that can take you in all kinds of different directions. And this one has another one of Hatter's favorite things, a word bank. There's some very interesting words that might help take your personal prompt into a direction that you weren't expecting just by trying to use those words. So you could try, but Linda, you could have fun with this with your cleverness there. Like there's a snail that's eating a bus, and there's a hand holding up the face of a rhino. So there's even a castle on an island that's a cloud. So there's some really, really cool ones. The artist that I stumbled on is Jaroslav Jankowski.
I think I know what we're missing. I was thinking today what we're missing is in reminding me of if your abs. We need comedy. We need to laugh more. We need a comedy show. So one of my plugins.
Yeah.
We'll try that.
Well, we have to find us a comedy host or hostess to do a once a month comedy show. So get Hutton Hatter.
Well, we've got the tasty dish, the SNL about Swedish, the meatballs.
Yes, I remember that clip. In the meantime, let me thank my amazing board, Big Brother Hatter, and my sweet and AP Taylor from Down Under. And I want to say thank you to Stephen and Kay and Gerald and Laughing Soul and Phil the Poet and my Liquid Damage Linda for hanging out with us and for just being wonderful and for producing a poem that got put on every list of the people in the room. So, like, talk about showing off. We had a lot of show-offs tonight, starting with Mine's Bigger Than Yours, and it just kept going. Anyway, I had a great time with you all, and I appreciate you, and I will see you tomorrow at Sky Show at 8 p.m., and I look forward to seeing what you guys do with those crazy pictures that are on my board for next week. And we are going to go out tonight with a song by one of Hatter's favorite, I guess it's a favorite, but I had never heard of the artist or the song until Hatter introduced me to Shine Down. And we're going to close the show with Her Name Was Alice. Thank you so much, everyone. Love
and
respect.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
you. Love and respect, Deb.
If I had a world of my own, everything would be nonsense. Nothing would be what it is, because everything would be what it isn't.
I invite you to a world where there is no such thing as time, and every creature lends themselves to change your state of mind. And the girl that chased the rabbit drank the wine and took the pill, and locked herself in limbo to see how it truly feels to stand outside your virtue. No one can
Nice.
Thank you, Hatter. Thank you, Linda. Good night.
Thanks, Deb. Good night.